Scott Petrick covers the Browns for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and kind enough to join us today. How's your offseason going, man?
Hey, pretty good, Vic.
Well, we got a lot to talk about, obviously, with this team. And I want to start with the state of the quarterback picture. If we can assume, and I don't think we can really assume anything anymore, but if we can assume that what we have now with Brandon Whedon, with Jason Campbell, and Thaddeus Lewis being the three quarterbacks on this team, that's the picture as we have it, and that this team is more, I think the most important takeaway, giving Whedon that second year to try to prove what he can do.
Yeah, I really like what they've done with the quarterback spot. I like Whedon more than a lot of people do, so I'm glad that they're giving him another year. I know there's some skepticism, you know, he didn't have a great rookie year, he's going to be 30, but there's no doubt in my mind he deserves a second year, especially in the North Turner Chud offense that, you know, throws the ball downfield, I think is a strength of Whedon. I've always liked Jason Campbell. I think he's a good backup. I think he can start for a couple games if you need him to. He could start for a long stretch if you need him to. I thought even before last season, when Campbell was a free agent, he might have been a fit here. I really like him. And I never liked Colt. I think he's a backup. I think he only fits in the West Coast. So I think the fact that they got rid of him is fine and that they got a pick is great. And the only other issue there is if maybe they go and get a guy in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, a developmental guy. You hear that Matt Scott from Arizona.
Yeah.
And, if you bring in another young guy to compete, I think that would really kind of solidify that group and be where they want it to be moving into the season.
My sense is that you would take the Browns out of the interest for a more prominent rookie quarterback, right? I mean, I know, again, they could still go down the road of Geno Smith or anybody. They've looking at a Ryan Nassib, looking at the names that we know, such as it is in this class. But I think it sounds like what you're talking about would make more sense is going with the more developmental player versus the more prominent guy.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I think the only way that changes is if they deal out of number six, maybe pick up a second rounder, and the guy that they really like is still there in the middle of the second round when they're drafting again, whether it's Nassib or somebody else falls to him. Maybe they love Mike Glennon, or even Glennon falls to the third round, and you say, we can't pass him up here. But I personally would be perfectly fine if they went into the season with the guys they have now, maybe adding a later round draft guy.
As you look at all the moves that have been made today, Scott, what strikes you about where this team is and as it does set itself up for the draft, do you feel, because we all put together what we thought the priority should be after last season and going into the offseason, how many of those are you satisfied have been hit for what this team needs, and how much more do you think is needed?
Yeah, I like the fact that they address the pass rusher with Kruger and Groves, and they're still looking for, you know, they had Victor Butler in, they didn't sign him. I think that's an area they could also address in the draft. They really went after the defensive line, which seemed like a position of strength to begin with, but Desmond Bryant really strengthens that. And you can see Joe Banner's always talked about you need to be great on both lines, so he went and did that with Desmond Bryant. A little surprised they haven't added a cornerback. I think that's a big area you need. Safety also falls in there. I'm not sure how many great free agent safeties there were to go get. So I think heading into the draft, the fact that they addressed the linebacker and defensive line gives them more versatility going into the draft. They don't have to target that pass rusher maybe at six like we thought they did going into free agency, but I think there's still needs that need to be, you know, that need to be addressed. Whether or not they all get addressed in the draft, it's tough to tell. And you know, Joe Banner admitted at the combine you're not going to be able to lock in guys at every position in one season.
And I think the philosophy of upgrading your pass rush between what Paul Kruger can bring to that, what Desmond Bryant can bring to that. And you mentioned Quinton Groves, a very active guy who certainly would be involved aggressively in a pass rush. And then if you address that early, say they do the Deion Jordan thing or whatever it might be with the sixth pick that a lot of mockers have going to the Browns, it might mitigate a little bit of this cornerback thing. I'm not saying it you completely mask it and that it's not a need. It is a need. But I just think that if you're ramping up your pass rush, you could solve the cornerback spot for at least temporarily, for at least 1 year that way.
No, I think you're 100% right there. And I think that that's the kind of defense that Ray Horton coaches. And, you know, I was thinking about it coming over, Vic, that the Patriots, when you think about them, I can't name one big-time corner they've had in the last 5-6 years. And they're always good. They always win a ton of games. They're always in the playoffs. So I think there's ways to mask that, and getting pressure on the quarterback is obviously the best way to do that. Unless I forget, they still have a big-time, one big-time corner. And there's some teams that don't have that big-time corner. You know, they got Joe Hayden.
Sure. What about the other corners that are on the team? Do you have faith or hope that anybody can make strides, enough strides at the position, guys that are already on the roster?
Yeah, I see Trevin Wade and Buster Skrine being nickel candidates. I know Buster took a lot of grief last year because he gave up a bunch of plays.
Yeah.
But that coaching staff loved him. They loved how tough he is. They loved how he worked. He's fast. There's no doubt he's fast. I think he fits better in the slot, and maybe he could become that nickel guy, the dime guy. And Wade, we didn't see enough of, but he's that kind of athlete too. The wild card would be Johnson Batamosi. He's a big guy. Now, he didn't play any – he barely played any defense last year. But to see him on the outside, he's big. He's over 6 foot. He runs. You know, maybe he could come out of nowhere. But besides those guys, I think it's really a position you need. You have to go get at least one more guy.
Yeah, I think adding a guy would be important. And they've done certainly through free agency, they've gotten guys. Now, I don't think we necessarily look at these guys as starters. Chris Owens is someone I'm sure that is going to compete somewhere along the line, probably more for that nickel spot. So, yeah, at the end of it all, I think getting one more guy, maybe it's from the draft, it's likely from the draft, is a good thing, but it'll probably just cultivate into a lot of young people that you want to see where they are. And I think this team, just given that these guys are on the roster, are going to go into the offseason with them and likely into camp with guys like Buster Skrine and Trevin Wade, that they're going to have a chance to show what they can do.
And I think that's Joe Banner's philosophy, is to get a bunch of young guys that want to prove themselves and see what happens. I think you're going to see it in a number of positions. You're going to see a kicker. Yeah. Bring in a bunch of guys that are young, haven't shown anything, and see who sticks. And then a year or two from now, you find out who's good enough, and then you go supplement it with maybe some more veterans.
Yes, you bring up kicker, and by the way, we're visiting with Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, covers the Browns. So Brandon Bagode is on the team. We're going to get that pronunciation guide right. But he is on the team as a kicker with really not only no NFL experience, but no college experience to speak of, other than he was, you know, on his college team. But when you look at him, you could really look at a lot of kickers that way. It's how does he look in the workout? What's his form like? Can he handle that? I don't know that you ever bring in a young kicker and expect them to have any clue as to what the NFL pressure cooker is like for a kicker.
No, you're exactly right. And you try to think of all the good kickers in the league, and I couldn't tell you what they did in college. You know, you don't see those kickers maybe under the same spotlight, under the same intensity. You know, if you're with the winning program, you're rarely kicking field goals at the end of games to win games. You know, you're drilling teams. So I think it's, does he have a big leg? And then you show up, and does he make the kicks at the end of practice? Does he make the kicks in the preseason? Does he do it in the regular season? Because if not, there's always another kicker you can bring in to try, because there's a ton of those guys out there.
Every kicker who comes onto this team is going to know the legend that he's replacing, the legacy that's been left by Phil Dawson. But that's just the way it is. That happens in this game. You do end up eventually becoming the guy that replaces the guy. And they always say you want to be the guy that replaces the guy that replaced the guy. But such as it is, do you think that adds more pressure to that? Do you think that has to matter to Brandon or anybody else who comes in?
I think it's going to be a factor. I think if you're that guy, you have to have the mindset where it doesn't matter who you're replacing. The pressure is the pressure. Mm-hmm. Kicking the winning field goal or the tying field goal should be enough pressure. It doesn't matter if Phil Dawson's before you. You know, it doesn't. Aaron Rodgers didn't matter if Brett Favre was before you. Yeah. You had to do what you had to do.
Right.
So I think there's enough kind of ingrown pressure in that job that shouldn't matter. I think it will matter to the fans. And I know the first time he misses a kick, everybody's writing and everybody's talking about the Browns is going to bring up Phil Dawson. But he can't be focused on that.
Right. The guy who's going to win this job will win it because he's not focused on that, or the weather, or the fact that there's 300-plus pound guys looking at him to make the play that they've set him up for. Yeah. So, all right. Let's go to the Browns' official Facebook, Twitter pages for some questions that we get. We also get them via email at daily@clevelandbrowns.com. I wanted to share a couple of these with you and get your thoughts, Scott. Justin from Facebook says, you can't build a team if you replace everyone every other year. He's focused on the idea that you see a lot of change, and there is going to be a lot of change. You see people, we mentioned Phil Dawson go, Colt McCoy being traded away, other people being cut, Chris Gokong and so forth, Usama Young.
Sure.
But this is what happens when there is a new you know, new sheriffs in town to run things, but not just for the sake of that. There's a new vision. There's a new defense. There's a new – but, yes, we've seen this repeatedly, and no, it is not a formula for success to constantly do it, but it's understandable that it has to be done now to – with regard to what you're trying – what the folks running the team now are building. They're not building it to break it apart in 2 years either.
Right. No, that's exactly right, and that's the – the thing, and I know fans have been through it over and over and over, but when you're the new regime, you kind of have to disregard what everybody else did.
Right.
You know, I mean, when Mike Holmgren and Tom Hecker got here, they had their own vision. They put it in place. The problem was it only lasted 3 years before we had another regime and another vision. So I think it's natural, and I would also say that maybe outside of Phil Dawson, I'm not sure I have a big issue with any of the guys the Browns are losing. You know, I can't think they didn't lose. He was their Pro Bowler they lost. They'll probably lose Josh Cribbs, but he's older. He's coming off some injury stuff. So I think Phil Dawson's the one guy where I said, man, this team would be much better if he were back. The rest of the guys, though, I think they're replaceable. I think maybe some of them didn't fit in the new systems. So I think that's just the way you have to be. And the fact is, the quarterback is the most important spot. And if they can lock that down, hopefully it's Brandon Whedon, then you can really turn your attention to progressing and making giant steps in the win-loss record.
Right. Right. George from Twitter, he said, I would be so happy if the Browns really do pick up D. Milner, obviously with that sixth overall pick or wherever they are, if they have to maneuver to get him. But here, my first thought on that, Scott, is yes, he's by all accounts the best corner in this draft. We agree that that's a need and that hasn't been totally addressed the way the Browns need it to be addressed right now. But I would still be inclined to think that it would be a hard choice for me, even if Milner were there, which is a question mark when the Browns pick right now, and another really outstanding pass rusher is there. I'm thinking those pass rushers, I know both positions are, quote, rare finds, but I don't know that I'm just satisfied with Paul Kruger being the guy that I know will tilt the field and change the game. We don't know that yet about Jabal Sheard as an outside linebacker.
No, you're right, Vic. I think Milner, at first glance, makes the most sense because there's a glaring need. He's the best corner on the board by far, according to all the experts. Yeah. And so you just slide him in, and it's a done deal. Where pass rush, you go, okay, well, if we got Kruger, we got Sheard, maybe there's Groves, how do you make them all fit together? You know, how does it all work? And But I think pass rusher might have the greater impact. And what it's going to come down to, if they stay at number six, and let's say Miller's there, is who does the scouting staff, who does Mike Lombardi like best? And because I've talked to people who I respect who don't love D. Milner. They're not convinced he's a top 10 pick. So just because he's the number one corner doesn't mean he's worth that number six pick.
Sure.
So if he's not, then my inclination would be go get the best pass rusher available, whether it's Deion Jordan, Ziggy Ansah, maybe Barkevious Mingo, one of those guys that you can plug into that 3-4 and lock him in there for the next 8 years.
Scott, outstanding. We really appreciate the fact that you are part of the show, as always, and we'll catch you down the line.
Sounds good, Vic. Thanks.
He is Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, covers the Browns. Joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.